All right. We're in the home stretch. A week from today, Christmas. How exciting. Whew, crazy weather, too. It's been beautiful. It's been treacherous. Soaking wet out there. It's supposed to turn back to snow. Just crazy weather. But here we are, just a week away. It's good to be here. Good to see you here. Let's give God a gift of our love, our presence. Let's give God the sacrifice of praise, because God certainly deserves it. So it is good to be in this place. I am going to steal the one announcement about the open house. We're having an open house at the Parsonage. And right after church, Bonnie's out there making sure everything's ready, and we'll be there till 2 o'clock, even later. Steeler game comes on at 1 or 1:30, whatever it is. So come on out and watch the game or whatever you want to do. We've got ham barbecue and potato salad, baked beans, meat and cheese tray, fruit tray, chips, cookies. We're going to have some cupcakes and stuff. So come on out and snack a little bit and take a look at the parsonage and the decorations and tell me how beautiful they are so that I didn't do them for nothing. But 301 Fairview Drive over in Manor. My number is in the bulletin if you need to call me for directions. I'm taking Connie over after church. If anybody else needs a ride, let me know. Take you over and bring you back. You can stay for 5 minutes. But it's one of our ways of saying, thank you and Merry Christmas to you. So that I just wanted to make that announcement. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks for today, for the excitement of this week. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be like little children. Help us, God, to cast all our cares upon you and to love you. To love you so much, to be so thankful for the gift of life that you give us. Come, Holy Spirit, come into this service and bless us and open us up to receive the word that you have for us. Bless this service, God, that the gift that we give to you would be pleasing to you. Fill us with the joy of Christmas. Fill us with the peace that passes all understanding. Fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Let's greet one another and pass the peace of Christ.
Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats this morning, please take a moment and do a 360. Take a look at this magnificent church. The decorations are gorgeous, all in honor and glory to our Lord. And these poinsettias, when you walk into the sanctuary, wow. We are so blessed to have opportunity to praise the Lord this morning. I do welcome all, and especially any visitors. Do we have any visitors this morning? If you are a visitor and you would like some information, an information packet, if you raise your hand now, our ushers will come to you. Or if not, you can get a packet of information. They're hanging on the shepherd's crook immediately out the double doors in our narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration sheet in the red folder that's located in your pew. Please sign that and pass it to others, bringing it back to the center aisle. Also, if you have a prayer request this morning, there's 3.5 by 5 cards in those red folders. You can complete that card, and the ushers will bring it forward to Pastor. Our memory verse for December is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me now reciting it twice through. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do have many announcements, and I will highlight just a few of them. Thank you from the Outreach Committee to all those who supported their Angel Tree project for Christmas 2016. And as a reminder, all gifts are due back today. So if you had any questions or concerns, please contact Missy. But again, thank you for your generosity. Also, a reminder from Lisa, director of our Children's Church Christmas play. The play will be performed at our 5:30 children's service on Christmas Eve. Rehearsal is today, and Lisa has asked me to remind parents, if you have not picked up your child's costume, she will be outside the Sunday school rooms on the K-4 mezzanine level. So there is practice today immediately after worship. Also, this week scheduled is our longest night Blue Christmas worship service, and that's held here in the sanctuary on Wednesday, December 21st at 7 o'clock. And on this night, we remember those for whom the holidays are not joyful, and for one or for many reasons. So if you are having a Blue Christmas, please feel welcome to come and sit among those who love you and support you. And you will have opportunity to hear liturgy about the love of our Lord, especially during times of grief. And Christmas week worship service, there is an announcement in the bulletin, a little flyer, but I do want to remind you that we have Christmas Eve services, 5:30, 7:30, and 11. And Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we will have one worship service, and that will be at 10 a.m., so again, there is an insert if you do need reminder of those times. And I would ask that you do check your bulletin. There are many other announcements and activities in the life of the church, especially this week. And I would ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship. Thank you, Bell Choir. I would now ask that you please stand and turn to page 862 in your red hymnal for our call to worship. Page 862 in your red hymnal. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary.
Praise God for his
mighty deeds.
Praise God for his exceeding greatness.
Praise God with trumpet sound.
Praise God with
lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and
fife. Praise God with sounding cymbals.
Praise God with loud.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Please remain standing for our hymn, number 220 in your red hymnal, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, we light the candle of love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Tell you what, this time of the year we have all kinds of gifts. Let's see what we got here. How many we got? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. I love to give gifts. I just love it. It's so much fun to give. Some of the gifts I give they're not worth anything. You know, they're just junky little things. It's just fun to get something. I enjoy wrapping them, and sometimes I get some nice gifts to give to people, but it's just fun to give. And not just at Christmas time, but all year long, it is fun to give gifts. So I have these gifts here for you, and we're going to start with let me put a couple extras out here so you have something to choose from. Okay, we'll start with the ladies right here. You can pick one gift out and say, wait, hold, sit back. Okay, we'll go to her first. Okay, you're next. Okay. Well, you can pick one for her. He was here first, though. He heard that one. This is brown paper bag. I have all these gifts up here, little gifts wrapped up for the kids to pick from. And I threw this brown paper bag down there. Well, nobody took it the first service. And I told them, there's money inside this bag. It's worth more. It's only a dollar, but it's worth more than the prize they're getting back here, the present. And of course, the whole point is that. Here, let me show you. We have to remember that even though it's wrapped up and looks like a gift, it doesn't mean that what's inside is any better than what's inside of this, which isn't fancy. This is just a brown paper bag. But we have to remember that it's not what's on the outside that counts. We did this for our Sunday school class today. Matter of fact, the scripture passage we had was the same as what I'm talking about here. God doesn't judge by what's on the outside of us. And we shouldn't judge by what's on the outside of us either. So don't judge somebody by what they look like, what color their skin is, what their hair looks like, what the clothes they're wearing. It's what's inside their heart that really counts. That's what's important. God wouldn't judge us by the outside, so we shouldn't judge each other by the outside. As you never know, sometimes in the most plain, unassuming looking packages can be the greatest gift. Okay? All right. Okay. Let's pray. You have lots of wrapping to do today. Cool. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks for the gifts that you give us. For indeed, we are a blessed people. Help us to celebrate Jesus' birth by giving gifts to others, by loving them, by just spending time with them. Help us, God, not to judge by what's on the outside, but by what's on the inside. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Our word of God this morning is from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Hear these words. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, The land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. May God add his blessings to Isaiah's prophetic words. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Everyone, you know, when we think of the Christmas story, most of us immediately think of Mary and the infant Jesus. Joseph is almost an afterthought, standing unimportantly in the background. Please close your eyes with me for a moment and try to feel how Joseph must have felt. There he is, a man with a girlfriend, pregnant with what Mary says is God's, the Son of God. He knew the baby wasn't his, and he knew the town would talk. But he stood by Mary and accepted the baby as his own. What was he to do? Well, we all know how that story ends. Last week we heard Missy Anderson sing Mary's song. Today it's Joseph's turn as I sing Joseph's song entitled Just Like You. I see why you would choose Mary. She's a virtuous girl. I understand why you'd use her to bring your son into the world. But what I don't understand, what doesn't make sense, is me. When there are so many others who could serve you faithfully, how could I be the father of a king? Lord, I just don't know why you've chosen one like me. Take my hand and just show me what to do. Help me be a father just like you. How would you have me to raise him? There's not much I know. What can a carpenter teach that will help a king grow? Yet I will give him my best. I will follow wherever you lead. And though I don't understand, I will serve you faithfully. How can I be a father to a king? Lord, I just don't know why you've chosen one like me. Take my hand and please show me what to do. Help me be a father just like you. Patient and kind, merciful and righteous, I will give him my best. And when he's old, he'll embrace the world with arms outstretched, with arms outstretched. How could I be
the father of a king. Lord, I just don't know why you've chosen one like me. Take my hand and please show me what to do. Help me be a father just like you. Help me be a father just like you.
Of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the telling about the miracle of Christmas. We pray, Lord, that you would bless both gift and giver. Bless those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. Joys. We don't have it listed today, but I just want to take a couple minutes. Anybody have any particular joys they want to lift up? Go ahead. Oh, no joy? Nothing in particular? Yes, Peggy. You're going to see your son this week, Christmas weekend. And it isn't snowing. Anybody else have a joy? What is it? Oh, you're wrapping presents today. Okay, that's a joy. My presents are already wrapped at home, so that's a joy too. Beauty of the sanctuary. Daughter graduating college. Okay. Making Christmas cookies. Eating Christmas cookies. Yes. Well, for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. For concerns, we want to remember all those who are traveling, especially this time of the year. Those who are poor and lonely. Those who are suffering from depression and anxiety. Remember our country and our country's leaders. Remember our church ministry here. We have prayers for a speedy healing of Jennifer's broken arm. Any burning burdens that you have? Yes, let's remember all the families who have lost loved ones at this time of the year, especially. The O'Neill family, the Hawk family. Want to remember them in our prayers. Want to remember our neighbors and co-workers who are lonely. And remember those who don't know Jesus, who have no idea why we're doing what we do, why we celebrate the season. And if you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows the details. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks. All honor and glory and praise to you and to you alone, O Father God, for you alone are worthy. Thank you for all our blessings, and help us, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to use those blessings the way you intended in order for us to be a blessing to others. And God, for our concerns, well, with you on our side, who can stand against us? And how many times in the Bible have you told us to fear not? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So, God, we cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. And so we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of those requests that we have made known here today, spoken and unspoken. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Let us hear this word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. All right. You guys are in for a special treat because I forgot to hand out the gifts in the first service. So you get their gifts. Now, if you've ever received a gift from me during Advent, raise your hand. Hold your hand up there. Okay, keep it up there. Keep it up. Hold that hand up there. Okay. Wait. You're welcome. You already got one. I already gave you one before. Here, have another. Okay. Merry Christmas. Okay. I better not. Who else here? If you've got a gift, raise your hand. I'm telling these. There you go, Merrick. I mean, I spent 30 seconds wrapping those, so a lot of time, labor, a lot of fun. Yep. Okay. Have you already got a gift? You didn't get one from me? Huh. Yo, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Merry. Betty, did I give you a gift? You already got one? Okay. Kelly, did you get one for me? You didn't.
That's why I sat down here.
Huh. Let's see here. Go, Merry Christmas. Sarah, did you get one? You didn't. You're welcome. Did I give you a gift? No? It's all right. Yep. You know, today's sermon is about love. It's about what God did for us at Christmas. Yeah, I looked in the Bible and I started researching, you know, getting ready for the sermon, and did a Google search on love. I did Bible scripture passages on love and God, and you know, I was reminded once again that the Bible is really God's love letter to you and me. I mean, all of the boring stuff, all of the pretty prose and poems, all of the hard stuff, the violence, it all had a plan. From the beginning to the end, from the book of Genesis to Revelation, it is God's love letter to us. My goodness, there's so much. And I mean, I could spend a couple of weeks talking about, did I give you a gift? Can't say that no more. Okay, Merry Christmas. Did I give you a gift? Here, Merry Christmas. Well, I've been carrying this one around in my hand. Did I give you a gift? Merry Christmas. Coming at you. Here it comes. Catch. All right. We're about. Would you run these up to the balcony and just hand out those, what's left up there? Okay, thank you.
Need a Christmas miracle.
Oh, we'll be okay. It's all right. We're just getting warmed up here. You got one? Okay, Tracy. All right. Love. God loves us so very much. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and so we know and rely on this, on the love that God has for us. God is love. 1 John 4, 16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. We can count on that. And we can't count on each other. You know, we can say that. But we're going to disappoint each other somewhere along the line, aren't we? That's just what happens. We just let each other down, disappoint each other, step on each other's toes. But God doesn't disappoint us. We may think he does because he doesn't answer our prayers the way we want them answered. But the one thing that we know and rely on is the love that God has for us. That's the Word of God. There's the obvious passages, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I love that. You know, that Jesus said, you have to love one another as I have loved you. Because Jesus, who said, I and the Father are one, Jesus is God. Jesus said, you have to love one another as I have loved you. And I went to the cross for you. I didn't hold anything back. I gave you everything I had, my last drop of blood. So I don't want you to just like each other. I want you to love one another the way I've loved you. I love Eric. We're still getting to know each other. I don't know everything there is to know about him. He doesn't know everything there is to know about me. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I know that my brother is a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, child of God. And I know that the Bible says, Jesus said, we are to love one another the way Jesus loved us. And that means holding nothing back. Making whatever sacrifice is necessary for one another. That's what we do for each other. We don't look at what's on the outside of a person. If we know that they're a Christian, it doesn't matter what color they are, what age they are. It doesn't matter how rich or poor they are. We're to love one another the way Jesus loved us. Now, if they're not a Christian, then we are to teach them, to show them the love of Christ so that they will accept Christ for themselves. That's the love of Christ. You know, that in Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. And after each verse, it says, his love endures forever. Orthodox Jews, they say the great Shema. The great Shema is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Orthodox Jews will say it several times a day. And it begins with, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength. Hey, hello. They keep repeating that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus said, I give you a commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said, that is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, you've got to love me more than you love life itself. You've got to love me more than you love your spouse, more than you love your children, your mother, or your father. More than life, you have to love me. Why? What is it? Why does Jesus want us to love him so much? Because it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, Adam and Eve hid in the garden. They were hiding because they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had just sinned, and they were afraid that God would find out. But the really cool part is that God would come down and walk in the garden with them every day. They heard the sound of him walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said, where are you? I'm looking for you. I want to be with you. That's why God created us, was to have fellowship, because he loves us. And he wants us to love him back. And we serve a jealous God, a mighty God, but a God who loves us and holds nothing back. He wants that relationship that was broken by sin. He wants it to be set right so that we can get back to that loving relationship. You know, love is the answer. It's the answer for all of our problems. It's the answer. I know people who have lots and lots of money, lots and lots of possessions. I know people who are like super athletes. You know, they got these fine, chiseled bodies and their enormous strength and speed, and like kind of like me and Eric. Did you get her name? Write her name down. Write it. But I know people like that who are miserable because they don't have love. I know people who don't have anything, who are broke, who don't have two nickels to rub together. But they're just happy as can be because they have love. I'm telling you, Jesus said that I came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's why he came. It's why he was born in a manger, was to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And the answer, the way to get we get that life, the way we get more abundant life is through love. Love makes everything better, makes everything great. It eases the aches and the pains, takes away the fear. He's come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. You see, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief came only to steal and kill and destroy. Now let those who have ears hear. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Do you know what he comes to steal and kill and destroy? The devil, the thief. He doesn't come to kill and steal and destroy your car, not your house, not your bank account, not even your health. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if you're the richest, wealthiest person in the world or if you're some kind of super athlete, great soldier, fantastic at your job. He doesn't care about any of that stuff as long as you're not having a good relationship with God. That's what he comes to kill and steal and destroy. He comes to break and ruin that relationship between us and God. And he'll do that any way he can. He'll get you so wrapped up in something else, worried about things, so involved in doing other things. Anything he can do to break that relationship, to kill that relationship between us and God. Because he doesn't want us to have that kind of love. He doesn't want us to love God the way God loves us. Because that love is what saves us. There was a man, a farmer. This farmer, he'd married, had kids, had a small farm outside of town. And, you know, all year long, his wife would come to him and say, "Dear, would you go to church with us this Sunday?" And he'd say, "No, you know how I feel about church. Just doesn't make any sense to me why God would leave his mansions in heaven and come down here and become a baby in a manger." He says, "That just doesn't make sense to me." Well, Christmas Eve rolled around. And on Christmas Eve, it was just snowing to beat the band outside. The wind was whipping. Temperatures were freezing, bitter cold. The wife came to him and said, "Dear, we're going to the Christmas Eve services tonight. I'm taking the children. Do you want to go?" And he said, "Now, honey, we've had this conversation. You know how I feel. It just doesn't make sense to me. You go without me." She said, "Okay." So he wasn't worried about her because four-wheel drive truck, town wasn't that far away. She was a good driver. She bundled up the kids, got them in the truck, and they left. And he went and sat down in front of the fireplace with his newspaper and cup of coffee. He wasn't reading that long when all of a sudden he heard, "Thump!" Oh, what was that? He looked around, and all of a sudden there was another thump. Something hit the window, big picture window in the living room there. And he walks over to the window, he looks outside, and there's a flock of geese in his front yard. And they're out there just circling around, and thump! And all of a sudden, one hit the window. They were trying to get in the house. Well, he knew the temperature was dropping really bad. The wind was whipping. The snow was piling up, and these geese were going to die if they didn't get some shelter. He closed the drapes, and he went over and sat down, got his coffee and his paper back out, and he thought, them stupid geese. Bump! Okay, he put his coffee down, he got up, and he thought, I got to do something. He put on his coat, hat, and his gloves, his boots, and he went outside, and he tried chasing the geese. Maybe they would go into the woods, find some shelter. And instead, they just flew around him. He thought, okay. And he went over to his barn, and he opened up the barn doors, and he turned a light on inside. And he went out, and he got behind the geese, and he tried shoving them towards the barn. Well, it was like herding cats. They didn't want anything to do with him, and they were staying out there in the snow, which was getting worse every minute. Farmer was frustrated. He didn't know what else to do. But he knew if they stayed out here a few more hours, there would be some dead geese. And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and then he got an idea. And he went into his barn, and he got a burlap sack. And he grabbed one of his geese, and he shoved that goose down inside that sack. And he went back out into the snow, and he went through the flock of geese to the other side. And he shook his goose out. And that goose took off, flew right through that flock of geese and right into the barn. And all those geese followed him. And he went over to the barn and he closed the doors. And he thought, good, now they're safe. And he was just about to go back into the house when it dawned on him. And he looked up. And with the snowflakes hitting his face, he began to cry. And he said, I get it. I finally get it. We wouldn't follow anybody else. We couldn't follow some alien. We couldn't follow some statue. We couldn't follow some animal. We would only follow one of our own. And that's why God had to come down and become one of us, so that we could follow him all the way to life, through the cross, through the resurrection. He said, I get it, God. You did all that to save us. It's all about love, Christmas is. And if somebody buys you a gift, chainsaw, microwave, laptop computer, stereo, they buy you a gift, they give it to you, and you don't open it, what good is that gift? No good. And what kind of respect are you showing to the person who gave it to you? None. Okay, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. The gift of love. So open that gift up and share that love. Love one another as Christ has loved you. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Hey, we've got some refreshments across the hall there in the parlor room, and some nice goodies. Stop and grab a bite for the road. Open house. We got the Blue Christmas service Wednesday, 5:30 Christmas Eve children's play Christmas service, and then we're here at 7:30 and 11, and then Christmas Day at 10. Wear your fuzzy pink slippers that you got for Christmas and your bathrobe and come to church that day, and we're going to sing some songs, have a devotion, and sing happy birthday to Jesus. That's going to be a great time. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and thank you for loving us so much that you became one of us. Thank you, Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to share the gift of Christmas with everybody we come in contact with. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen.